Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I'm your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 24 of the 2025 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And all I can say is, let's go! NFL draft has begun. First round already in the books. I'll tell you what, Green Bay, one heck of a host already. The fans, just absolutely electric. We saw when Matthew Golden was announced as their pick, number 23 overall. Super excited. Even got them all to say Green Bay with them on a count of three. It was really an awesome thing to see. 32 picks in the books. Some things went as expected. Others, really a big surprise, right? And so when I look at the NFL draft in this first round for 2025, we'll go pick by pick. We'll talk through it, how I expected the pick to go, how it actually went, and what that fit is going to look like. So let's go ahead and jump into things. Let's take a look at the Tennessee Titans. We already knew that they were going to be going with Cam Ward, right? I mean, it made perfect sense. You look at the Tennessee Titans, they need a quarterback. They didn't address anything. You know, Will Levis was benched in favor of Mason Rudolph. So we knew Cam Ward was going to be the guy. And ultimately, he is picked there, number one overall. You know, really no secret there whatsoever. And look, Tennessee, you know, they've got Calvin Ridley. They bring in Tyler Lockett to give him some receivers to work with. You know, Tony Pollard, Tyjae Spears can be weapons out of the backfield there as well. You know, they get Dan Moore at left tackle. Kevin Zeitler at right guard, and he already has, you know, J.C. Latham at right tackle, Peter Skoronski at left guard. You know, there's a lot of upside there with that offense. Now, I think, you know, they need another tight end. You know, Chigokonkwo is their number one. I think they can address that. Van Jefferson, their number three receiver. You know, really, Treylon Burks, he's in jeopardy of ultimately being almost phased out completely on this roster if he's not careful. Only 53 receptions over his first three seasons there in Tennessee with just one touchdown. So obviously that's not going to get it done. I think Cam Ward, this is a good pick for them. You know, Cam Ward, I think, you know, that also speaks to the level of, you know, competition there at that quarterback position in this draft. That quarterback class, pretty weak. Cam Ward probably would have been anywhere from 4 to 6, maybe even 7, had he come off the board a season ago. So, you know, that's really shows you what you're looking at there, but still Tennessee gets their guy. Then we look at number 2 overall. This was a bit of a surprise, you know, that Cleveland would trade the pick and not go after Travis Hunter. But Jacksonville, you know, they were talking about, could they get that Godfather offer? They get that from Jacksonville. And, you know, as I was looking at my mock draft, some of the notes that I said, you know, I said, you can expect that the Jaguars to pick, to get the pick to Roger Goodell in a hurry if Travis Hunter was still on the board. Not only lock down the side opposite, you know, Tyson Campbell, but would also give Lawrence another weapon teaming with Brian Thomas Jr. Now, here's the thing. I actually mocked them. You know, Ashton Jeanty, I moved him off of the Raiders, who I had, you know, since February, I had that penciled in. I also have Mason Graham penciled in since February at that number 5 pick. But ultimately, what I was thinking was, you know, James Gladstone was saying, hey, this pick is going to set the tone for this organization. Liam Cohen there, an offensive-minded, you know, head coach. I was thinking that ultimately this was going to be pairing Jeanty with Trevor Lawrence. Instead, they go with Travis Hunter. And look, you know, I think the corner receiver, I think you utilize him at both positions there in Jacksonville until ultimately you have to put him on one side of the football. I think allow him to do that there in Jacksonville, really set the tone, be a receiver, be a corner, and let the chips fall where they may, because they have a need at both. The Giants, I think this was a no-brainer. Abdul Carter there out of Penn State. And look, you know, they've already said that they're going to keep Kayvon Thibodeau. I saw ESPN report that. So fifth-year option is picked up. Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence, and Abdul Carter. You want to talk about the former NASCAR package that former defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo ran, you know, with Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, OCU Mignora. Abdul Carter, 12.5 sacks, 23.5 tackles for loss, 61 pressures, pass rush win rate of 22.9%, you know, in his first season as a full-time edge rusher. Love that pick. Then you look at number 4, the Patriots. Again, we knew they were going to look at offensive tackle. Some people thought Armon Membu, but look, he's more of a right tackle. He's not really a left tackle. Will Campbell, to me, the 33-inch arms, I'm not worried about that. Rashawn Slater, 33-inch arms, he's a freaking Pro Bowl tackle. I look at Will Campbell, and I think that this is a guy he's going to replace Vidarian Lowe there at that left tackle spot. I think this is a great pick. I think this is a guy that, you know, is effortless in his kick slide, can change directions well. You know, he's got the power in his hands, good flexibility. I think this is going to be, you know, really setting the tone there to protect Drake May. Now at five, Cleveland, and I think this was where I was kind of thinking maybe, you know, they could select Abdul Carter because you needed someone to fit in there with Myles Garrett. And so I actually love this pick. I thought maybe there'd be an outside chance that they'd end up pulling the trigger on Ashton Jeanty there at five to get a running back. But really, day two, you know, I actually have them taking Cam Scadaboo on day two of the draft. But you get Mason Graham in there. You know, Malik Collins is also on the roster. But I think Mason Graham playing next to Myles Garrett, I really love that selection. Makes a lot of sense for the Cleveland Browns. Then at number six, obviously, Ashton Jeanty. This was the pick that made a ton of sense. With him off the board, I had him taking Armon Membu to get that right tackle. I still think they need to address that right tackle spot opposite Colt Miller. But when you look at Ashton Jeanty, Pete Carroll gets his Marshawn Lynch. I love this pick. You know, you get Brock Bowers a season ago. Now you get Ashton Jeanty. This is, you know, this is perfect. You know, they have Raheem Mostert on the roster, but you know there's a lot of unproven running backs there behind Mostert. You know, now I think, you know, Mostert's not really a guy that I would start. Ashton Jeanty's a guy that we know can be a bell cow for them. Love the pick there. Then the Jets, they need a right tackle. Armon Membu, that's who I had on the board there on my mock draft from 4-11. And you know, I said if Membu was on the board, that's who they're taking. If not, then maybe it'd be Tyler Warren. They get Armon Membu. Look, Morgan Moses, he's in New England now. You get Moses to play on the right side. I'm sorry, you get Membu to play on the right side, and you get you know, Olu Fashanu, you know, is your left tackle of the future. He's on that left side. You got the bookends protecting Justin Fields for you know, the foreseeable future, right? 6'4". 34-inch arms, and didn't give up a single sack, only surrendered 9 pressures a season ago. Love it. Love the pick. At number 8, Carolina, I actually thought this was going to be Jalen Walker. I think they need some additional pass rush help. You know, Jadeveon Clowney, DJ Wonnum only combined for 9.5 sacks a season ago. I thought this could be a guy that could fill that role that was vacated by Shaq Thompson. Maybe they're happy with the fact that they have Trevon Wallace and Josie Jewell and Christian Roseboom at that linebacker position. Ultimately, they go with Teteroa and McMillan. Now, I noted here in my mock on the readyforthedraft.com website, offensively, Adam Thielen, 35 years of age, entering the final year of his deal. Last year's first-round pick, Xavier Leggett, finished second on the team in both receptions and receiving yards, but Bryce Young still needs number one wideout. Teteroa will get a long look here. Ultimately, he ends up being the pick. Might be a little high for him just because, you know, you worry about the separation, but look, you know, the ball skills are evident. You know, you see what Drake London, you know, what he did at USC, there were concerns about him separating, and you know, he's still been a player there for the Atlanta Falcons. Now, at number 9, I mocked Kelvin Banks here and end up getting that pick right because, look, you know, Ryan Ramczyk is gone. Talia Sefuaga needs to be playing on the right side. Trevor Penning just has not worked out. Kelvin Banks allows them to do that. No brainer. So this guy he's athletic. He's one of the more consistent offensive tackles in this year's draft. Love that pick. So, you know, as you're scoring at home, that's 3 offensive tackles taken in the first 9 picks. We knew that this offensive tackle class was going to drop fast as you start getting into day 2 and then obviously into day 3 as well. So I love the pick there. Chicago, I thought there was a chance that Mason Graham could fall. And so that's ultimately where I had him penciled in. I had Tyler Warren there on my mock draft from 4-11. Ultimately, Colston Loveland is that better comp for Laporta. And I did note here that Ben Johnson is likely to target his own Sam Laporta with this pick, especially considering if Tyler Warren is still on the board. I said there are some people who feel that Colson Loveland is a better comp for Laporta, so he'll also be an option here. So I did call that out, so not completely off the radar or off the reservation with the pick. And I think Colson Loveland just gets them a guy. Look, 56 catches a season ago. He was a reliable target for whoever was playing quarterback there at Michigan. Had 29 more receptions than the next closest wideout. So I thought that was a great pick there for the Chicago Bears. At number 11, the 49ers. I actually was thinking they'd go Walter Nolan with this pick just because of the fact that they need a defensive tackle. As I was looking at it, you know, Kelvin Banks off the board, Josh Simmons, you know, with that knee, we saw that the injury concerns definitely moved him down the boards. I thought Will Johnson could be a fit, but again, the injury concerns moves him down the board as well. And I thought maybe Jahde Barron, but you know, D tackle made a lot of sense. But I also think that you need to get an edge rusher. And Mykel Williams, you know, I noted here, you know, the Niners could consider Mykel Williams or Jihad Campbell, you know, to replace Dre Greenlaw, Leonard Floyd. Ultimately, you know, I thought Jalen Walker would also be a fit. Mykel Williams is a guy for me that I think his best football is definitely in front of him. You know, those injury issues with the ankle, obviously not nearly a concern, as much of a concern as some of these other players. And, I think because of his versatility, he played a defensive end, D tackle, stand-up edge rusher. He's got that versatility. You can play him all over the place. He reminds me a lot of Trayvon Walker because of the fact that he can play the run really well. Just allow him to polish up his game as a pass rusher, and I think he could end up freeing things up there for the likes of Nick Bosa. You know, look, you know, Drake Jackson has just been hit with the injury bug. We've never really seen him blossom. You need to get that. You need to get a pass rusher in there, especially with Leonard Floyd gone. So I love that pick as well. Now the Dallas Cowboys. I honestly thought they were going to go receiver. I really did. You know, I had Tet McMillan going to them there. They must have had Matthew Golden because that's who I had initially on 411. I thought that Matthew Golden was going to come off the board there, but obviously they didn't have him rated nearly as high. I thought corner could have been that possibility, but Jahde Barron, you know, obviously he fell to number 20 to the Denver Broncos. So I noted here that, you know, Zach Martin retires, plus you've got the subpar play at offensive tackle. Talked about Armand Membu possibly being the guy. Noted that Kelvin Banks or Tyler Booker would also be options up front as well. Tyler Booker ultimately gets the nod. He brings some physicality, you know, much like Zach Martin. I think this is a high floor. It's not the sexy pick, but this is a guy that's going to come in and start right away. And I think he actually helped out Tyler Guyton there at left tackle as he really struggled in his first season. So hopefully they'll be able to get some of that development going along there as well. Miami, I really thought they were going to go corner, and that's where I had Jahde Barron kind of penciled in. And I said, you know what, this is one of the things that really made a lot of sense because of the fact that ESPN was reporting that they're looking to trade. They were looking to trade Jalen Ramsey. You know, I thought that was going to ultimately be where that pick would go. That didn't end up happening, but Kenneth Grant, I think, is a pick that makes a lot of sense. And I was actually considering Kenneth Grant here for a while. Zach Seiler, breakout season 2 years ago with 10 sacks, able to rack up that exact same sack total, proving that 2023 wasn't a fluke this past season. Calais Campbell, Deshaun Hand aren't on the roster anymore. And plus, the Dolphins could do better than Benito Jones at nose tackle. I thought Grant, ideal fit up front for the Finns. Noted that on the mock. Ultimately, I thought maybe that might be a little high for him. But the talent is something that you just cannot ignore with Kenneth Grant. I thought maybe he'd fall to 22 to the Chargers. But here's the thing. Let's talk about Bruce Feldman's freaks list, right? So he flies up Michigan's reactive plyo stairs. It's a series of 26-inch high stairs. Players attempt to jump as fast as possible. This dude just flies up those steps. During the offseason, pressed a 115-pound dumbbell 34 times in his right hand, 27 on his left. vertical jump 29 inches at 6'4 and 331 pounds. Turkish getup with a 150 pound dumbbell. And if that's not impressive enough, you watch him repeatedly running down running backs from behind. He's not an edge rusher, but he can absolutely affect the game from within. So I think Miami, they did some, they got the right guy. I think he's going to only help Siler. And then if you can get some return to health with both Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips with Chop Robbins there as well, I think you really get a dynamic front really building. And then I love what they've done at the linebacker spot as well. You got Jordan Brooks, Tyrell Dodson's there, but then you bring in Willie Gay and KJ Britt as well. The cornerback position is something. Look, there are a lot of corners, I've been saying this, in round number two that we're going to see come off the board. Will Johnson is going to be one of those. So it's going to be a lot of fun to really see where these corners go. I think Miami's going to get a good one in the second round. Indianapolis. I had them taking Colson Loveland. I did mock Tyler Warren back in February. I thought Warren was a top 10 pick for sure. Ultimately, he falls to the Colts. And look, this is a match made in heaven for whether it's Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson at quarterback. He's going to be a favorite target of either of those quarterbacks. And you look at the tight end position, it was really non-existent in the passing game. Kylan Granson, Mo Alie-Cox, 9th and 10th on the team in receptions. You have Michael Pittman Jr., you have Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, each at racking up 800 yards apiece. When you look at Tyler Warren and what this guy has done this past season, he was a high school quarterback, so he's still developing, and yet 2024, 104 receptions, 1,233 yards, 8 touchdowns, ends up as a Mackey Award winner. Experience carrying the football as a Wildcat quarterback, and even threw the ball there for the Nittany Lions. He even was snapped the ball. That USC game where he snaps the ball, they get it to Drew Aller, they throw the ball, he's going right up the seam, elevates over that safety there at USC, Zion Branch, ends up making one hell of a play, high-pointing the football. He's a tremendous athlete. Love that pick there for Indy. Because I think they get a steal in Tyler Warren. As I said, I thought he was a top 10 pick. Atlanta at 15, I thought they were going to go edge rusher. Mike Green ends up falling out of round one. We'll talk about that. I think ultimately those off-field concerns were a little much for other teams. I think when you look at getting Jalen Walker, that's a heck of a pick for Atlanta, having him fall into their laps. That was just, it was a bit of a surprise that he fell that far. But when you look at this group, they've got Divine Diablo already as a backup now. I think because you're going to pair Walker likely with Caden Ellis. There's Troy Anderson there in that group as well. You've got Leonard Floyd coming off the edge. Braylon Trice is coming back from that knee injury. Arnold Ebiketie coming off the edge. We'll talk about James Pierce here in a minute. And then you add Jalen Walker, off-ball linebacker, can also rush the passer off the edge or shooting gaps up the middle. He can be a spy for you. There's a lot of versatility to his game. I really like this pick. I think when you think about Atlanta and what they want to do on the defensive side of the football with Raheem Morris, I think this is a perfect fit. And could definitely, this is a team that last time they drafted an edge rusher in the top 15 was Vic Beasley, I think, in 2015. Last time they took an edge rusher at all was Tack McKinley in 2017. And this is a team that, just traditionally has always been at the bottom of the NFL in sacks. Something's got to change. I love that they finally put an emphasis on that role. They trade back into round one to end up targeting James Pierce Jr., and that pick was number 26 overall, traded with the Rams. I was expecting the Rams to trade out of that pick, but I was expecting for a team to trade up and for a quarterback. I thought that maybe Atlanta would be trading up to get another corner to team with A.J. Terrell to allow Mike Hughes to move back to the nickel, where I think he's at his strongest. But they instead opt for James Pierce. And again, this is a guy that, for me, I love the pick. A lot of people were saying, well, he's not that consistent. He's not really productive. 2024, you know, with the sack total went from 10 to 7.5. He actually generated 6 more pressures in 2024 than he did in 2023. Then he shows up, runs the 4.47 40 at the combine, and you know, he's a guy who can set a strong edge, much stronger than people give him credit for. He's 6'5", 243. I just think, you know, the first three steps are so dynamic. He shot out of a cannon, quick to attack the hands of the offensive tackle, uses his length to his advantage, incredibly flexible, bendy, more power than you would expect, convert speed to power, athletic, moving laterally against the run, can shoot gaps, you know, on the interior as well, and take that inside rush to the quarterback. Love that pick for Atlanta. They're getting themselves a guy that can really be a difference maker as an edge rusher, and to get him there at 26, I thought that was perfect value. I had him coming off the board 28 overall to Detroit, so I think that lines up nicely. Which then takes us to Arizona. Now, I thought Arizona would go Matthew Golden here. You know, pair up Matthew Golden with Marvin Harrison Jr., and then you also have Michael Wilson. Really would solidify everything at that receiver spot. Ultimately, Arizona opted for Walter Nolan, you know, who I had coming off the board earlier there with San Francisco, with him already off the board. Not a guy that I was going to consider, but I thought that Arizona could potentially target one of those defensive tackles. At one point, I was almost penciling in Kenneth Grant at one point. But you look at Walter Nolan, he's going to be able to learn from Calais Campbell a bit. Campbell's just, you know, signed to a one-year deal. I think Nolan's definitely an upgrade over Justin Jones. Bilal Nichols is likely going to play that nose. You've got Darius Robinson at one edge spot. So that really... You know, you're struggling to get after the quarterback. You bring in Josh Sweat. You've got Baron Browning there. Those are going to be your starters. You know, as edge rushers, their sack leader from a season ago is Zaven Collins. He only had 5. Former first rounder, really just hasn't panned out the way I think that the Cardinals were expecting. He's going to be that third edge rusher. When you think about it, you know, you're going to have Campbell, Robinson, and Nolan up front with Dalvin Tomlinson playing that nose. Then you got Browning, Sweat, Collins. And then they pick up Davis Gaither to play with Mac Wilson there at the inside linebacker spots. You know, they're really solidified that front seven. So I thought that was really a nice fit for Jonathan Gannon and company there at number 16 overall. Really good value. Then you get to 17 and the Bengals. I think the Bengals had to go with an edge rusher. I had them taking Mykal Williams because I thought Williams with that ankle may fall just a little bit. But they end up deciding to go with Shamar Stewart. Maybe the biggest boom or bust prospect here. I think Duke Tobin, this is going to be a pick that people are going to look back on and either say that he's a genius or, you know, maybe they shouldn't have made the move. You know, even this doesn't mean that Trey Hendrickson is out. You know, this is a guy that has needed help up front. You know, this guy was a sack leader from a season ago, 17.5 sacks. I think they may still be negotiating with him and try to get a deal done to keep him in a Bengals uniform. He wants to stay in Cincy. But with Shamar Stewart, this is a guy that only 4.5 sacks in his career. But you see the physicality, his ability to push up the field and get into the backfield in a hurry. Look, A&M, we know, more of a read and react defense. What you love with him, though, is his game is a lot like Jared Versus. Defensive Rookie of the Year a season ago, the season long, you know, all season long, impressive ability to convert speed to power, just destroying even the top offensive tackles coming off the edge. So with Shamar Stewart, the thing that he was able to do brings that physicality, especially in the run, but explosiveness to get quick penetration into the backfield, be a disruptor on all three downs. Speed to power was really a lot of his game, but he could also bend the edge a little bit. We saw him at the Senior Bowl, was absolutely dominant, just freakish, just blowing up plays, you know, play after play. It didn't matter if it was on the one-on-ones or in the team drills. He was making a statement, and then he shows up at the Combine and goes off and absolutely just sets the stage. And you're like, this guy is a tremendous athlete. It's just, can he get the production? And I think that's ultimately with Cleveland. If they can get production out of him, then he could be a steal. But 4.5 sacks, you know, really, I thought he was going to slide a little bit because Odafe Owe, his last season there at Penn State, 0 sacks. He ended up 31 overall, but he was a double-digit sack guy. It just took time for development. I think with Shamar Stewart, you may have to be patient in Cincy before you can get that return on your investment. 18, Seattle. I had them taking Nicky Mamwari. I thought maybe they would go with that safety spot with Mike McDonald, your head coach, being a defensive-minded guy. At one point, I was even picking a receiver, Tetero McMillan, possibly sliding to them. But the offensive line really needs to be an area of focus. I thought that was something, you know, Sato Alamea and Anthony Bradford, Olu Watimi. The jury's out on all three of them. And I thought Gray Zabel, I noted here, could provide an immediate lift at left guard, could then slide inside to center if needed. Gray Zabel has that five-position versatility, and we know what he was able to do there at the Senior Bowl, showing that he belongs and in that round one conversation. I thought 18 might have been a little bit high for Zabel, but glad that he did. You know, we did get to see him come off the board because he was one of the most dominant players there at the Senior Bowl, so it doesn't matter that he came from an FCS school. Now, Tampa at 19, I had them taking Jihad Campbell. Yes, I know that he had the shoulder injuries. That's why he slid down the board even further than I expected. I think a lot of people were expecting him to potentially, you know, be in consideration for that 11 to 15 range. I think the Niners could have been interested in him. I thought Tampa, just with Levante David, you know, he's signing one-year deal after one-year deal. At some point, you're going to have to find his replacement. I thought Campbell could learn from him and ultimately take over at that position. But Tampa ends up opting for Emeka Ebuka. I ultimately had Emeka kind of phasing him out of round one just because I couldn't really find a good fit, a good home for him. So Tampa taking him there really, I think, speaks more to Chris Godwin's health. They're bringing him back. But that nasty, nasty leg injury that he sustained still has to be a huge concern. Just a freak ankle injury that changed really the path of the pack, the pass offense there for the Bucs. I think when you get him, and that also talks to, you know, Jalen McMillan. I think they were expecting good things from him, so it's just interesting. You know, I said that, you know, it's expected at some point. I just didn't think it was going to happen at 19. The fact that it is Godwin. I thought if Godwin was gone, then they were definitely going to go receiver. The fact that he's back, either Godwin and the health, they're doubling down at the receiver spot, or potentially Jalen McMillan, they're just not as he didn't develop as quickly, or maybe they're just saying, you know what, we're going all in with this receiver group for Baker Mayfield, and they're just looking for some additional matchup nightmares and really saying, you know what, we can address that linebacker position, we can address the cornerback position, and get another edge rusher on days 2 and 3 of the draft. At 20, Denver. I really thought Omarion Hampton was going to be the pick here because they need running back help, right? I mean, you've got Jaleel McLaughlin and Audric Estime. My guess is Sean Payton saying, I can get a really solid running back on day 2. Quinshon Judkins is a running back that comes to mind that I think would be an excellent fit. Ultimately, they go with Jahdae Barron. I think the reason why I kind of shied away from this is you already have Pat Surtain, you've got Riley Moss, you've got Chris Abrams-Drain, Jaquan McMillan on the roster. So then you bring in Jahdae Barron, who can be that flexible DB. You can play him at nickel, which is probably where he'll be with Riley and Surtain as your top two corners. You've got Talanoa Hufanga that you brought in free agency from the 49ers to be your strong safety. Brandon Jones, a free. You know, I just thought that there was a little bit more depth at that position. That's why I didn't really consider a corner here. But Jahdae Barron, outside of Travis Hunter, you know, you can make an argument that he's the best corner in the draft. He seems to think so. I think that's one of the things that he's been quoted as saying all over, you know, NFL.com, ESPN, and other publications. So it was an interesting pick. It's not out of the, you know, not out of the realm of possibility here that he was going to come off the board in the top 20. I actually had him coming off the board number 13 overall to the Dolphins. So I think this is a pick that ultimately, you know, they feel like you could never have enough secondary players. The fact that he has that versatility to play all over the back end of that defense, a la Brian Branch, I think that's ultimately why they pulled the trigger there on Jahdae Barron. Now the Steelers, Shedeur Sanders. That was where everybody had him coming off the board if he was going to slide just a little bit. and Pittsburgh ultimately deciding not to go quarterback. They've got Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson on the roster right now. What's going on with Aaron Rodgers? Could they get Kirk Cousins? Are they going to pick someone on day two of the draft? Is that, you know, Shadur going to be the pick there? Ultimately, they go with Derek Harmon. I expected this pick to be Derek Harmon. When I look at this group, I think what really made sense was you team him with Keanu Benton and Cameron Hayward up front. This is a guy, 5 sacks, 35 pressures, 11 tackles for loss. You pair him again with Cam Hayward, then you got Keanu Benton there at the nose, TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith. I think this is the guy that's going to help that front seven and putting pressure on the quarterback. He's also stout at the point of attack against the run. Really, you know, some good quickness coming off the ball at 6'5", 3'10". Really a good pick there by Pittsburgh. I thought that was a pick that made a lot of sense for them. Now, the Chargers at 22, I thought Kenneth Grant would slide, like I said. Ultimately, Omarion Hampton, who I had going to Denver, is ultimately off the board there to the Chargers. And this was a pick that I was expecting, you know, the Bolts to get their running back at some point, right? J.K. Dobbins, last year, returned from that torn Achilles, week one of the 2023 season, rushed for 900 yards and 13 games. He's in Baltimore now. Like, the Chargers have to address, you know, that running back spot. They brought in Najee Harris. 1 year deal. They can't expect that to be a long-term deal. Like, would they really take a running back? You know, I thought that the Chargers could be patient and wait, but the fact that you've got Omarion Hampton sitting there on the board, 6 foot, 221, ran a 4.47 40, leaped 38 inches in the vertical at the combine, 3 year career, over 1,500 yards in each of the last two seasons, 30 touchdowns while also hauling in 67 passes. Pro Football Focus noticed 4.3 yards after contact on average, also forced 73 missed tackles. So this is a guy that can be physical between the tackles, can make you miss in the open field, and has the speed to take it the distance. The Chargers, you know, I think this is a weapon for Justin Herbert. And now you've got a 1-2 punch with Hampton and Harris. I think the Chargers really, really helped themselves at that running back spot. Now they can really see if they can find a receiver on day two of the draft. Yes, they brought in Mike Williams, but, you know, they don't have a proven deep threat. You know, Quentin Johnson has been a disappointment. Ladd McConkey was really a revelation. They've got Tyler Conklin there at tight end. I think they need to get some speed, and I think a guy like Jalen Knoll could be someone that they could be targeting there on day two of the draft. So after the Chargers, you get to the Packers, and ultimately for the first time since 2002 when they took Javon Walker, Matthew Golden, still on the board, bit of a surprise. I had him, like I said, going off the board at number 16 overall. So excellent, excellent, excellent value for the Packers. I think he could be their number one option. You've got Romeo Dubs. You've got Christian Watson, battled injuries. Jaden Reed is kind of a slot guy. I think Matthew Golden can win in the slot. He can win on the outside. You saw what he was able to do with Houston as a vertical threat. Excellent hands, but then you can line him. Really, you know, what Texas did, they lined him up all over the field, and he was a guy that the second half of that season was dominant. He was the guy for the Texas Longhorns. You know, it wasn't Isaiah Bond. It was Matthew Golden, and he really emerged as their top weapon. I think that was really where everyone started believing that this guy could be a first-round pick. I thought, ultimately, at one point, I had him coming off the board to Dallas at 12, but I just really felt that that was a little too high, a little too rich for him. 23, though, I thought was a little low. So, you know, Green Bay getting excellent value. The Vikings sitting there at 24. I thought this was where the Will Johnson slide would stop, because, you know, you've got Isaiah Rodgers and Devere Thomas, Byron Murphy on the roster, but I think you need to get another corner. You know, Stephon Gilmore, Shaq Griffin, Fabian Moreau, they're out. You need another corner at some point. So, you know, they've already signed Will Fries, and they've signed the center, Ryan Kelly, to take over along the interior. So, it's like, maybe they target someone like Tyler Booker to take over for Blake Brandel at left guard. So I said, I thought that was a possibility. Donovan Jackson, though, I think is an excellent pick for the Vikings. I thought Jackson may be on the outside looking in, but when you think about his play, I think what really helped him was that play at left tackle. You got Josh Simmons going down to injury, then Zeb Michalski. He moves out from left guard to left tackle. Struggled against Abdul Carter, but after that, no sacks given up, only one pressure. Was dominant, played at an elite level during the playoff. I thought that was a hell of a pick for the Vikings because of the way that he played. You know, this is a guy that's going to start right away there at left guard in place of Blake Brandel. You really solidify the interior of that line. You've got Brian O'Neill at right tackle, Christian Darrisaw at left tackle. I know Darrisaw has battled some injuries. If you needed to kick Jackson out to left tackle in a pinch, Randall could slide back into left guard, and I think you still don't lose a ton. So Donovan Jackson, to me, is a guy that definitely moved up draft boards. I was just trying to figure out where to put him in that conversation, and that's where I struggled to really ultimately figure out exactly where I wanted to put him. But again, love that pick. 25, Houston Texans. They trade out of round one. I thought that Gray Zabel could have been their guy there. I thought a receiver like Matthew Golden could have also been the pick. Texans ultimately, hey, we're happy with trading out of round number one, and they ultimately trade with the New York Giants. And I had said on my mock draft, because I don't look at trades at all, but I said I do expect the Giants to move back into round one to target a quarterback. I noted Jackson Dart was going to be the guy that they would be eyeing, and that's exactly who they went with. And if you watch any of the coverage on ESPN, Brian Daboll ultimately sees a lot of Josh Allen in Jackson Dart. I think that's high praise for the former Ole Miss Rebel. But when you look at Dart, you know, this is a guy that can learn from Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. He doesn't have to be forced to play right away. And the Giants get their quarterback of the future, but they're also set right now, and they did get their pass rusher with Abdul Carter first. So I thought the Giants, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, really need to nail this draft, and I thought they absolutely did that with these two picks. The Rams at 26, I noted in my mock draft that I thought that they were going to ultimately trade out of that pick, and that ultimately someone was going to trade up, likely for a quarterback. It ultimately was Atlanta with James Pierce. I have the Rams targeting Carson Schwechter in round number two. I think when you look at the Falcons and their pick in round number two, the Rams at 46 overall, that may end up being a little too late to get this guy, to be honest with you. But Carson Schwechter, you know, I thought 26 could, you know, may have not even been out of the realm of possibility that the Rams could end up taking him, you know, if they were still there on the board at 26. But I think this really speaks to the fact that, hey, we can now address a couple of positions. I think that cornerback spot, there's a lot of depth at corner, so I think they could end up targeting another corner. I think they could target a receiver as well, but then I think Schwechter is that guy. 136 tackles from a season ago, 9 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, the former walk-on, leaped 39.5 inches in the vertical leap at the combine. So Rams, I think they're going to target an inside backer there on day 2. 27 overall, really was expecting Malachi Starks to come off the board here to the Ravens, and that's exactly what happened. Look, he didn't blow anyone away with that 4.5 40, but he's so smooth in the drills at the combine, loose hips. This is a guy that is versatile, range to play over the top, drives quickly on passes thrown in front of him, tremendous ball skills, can also trigger downhill in a hurry against the run. His ability to cover receivers in the slot also makes him intriguing. Marcus Williams really didn't work out in Baltimore. He was let go. I think with Malachi Starks, this is a guy that come in and start right away. Gives you some of that versatility because, you know, maybe Kyle Hamilton moves to the nickel with Ardarius Washington playing the strong and Malachi as the free safety. Maybe Malachi is your nickel. Kyle Hamilton moves to the strong safety and Malachi Starks is your free safety. You know, I think it just gives you some flexibility there in the secondary. Baltimore yet again, gets a solid pick. Now you look at Detroit at 28, taking Tyreek Williams. This was a guy that, you know, I thought had an outside shot at round one. I was really kind of surprised that we did ultimately see him coming off the board in the first round. You know, like Tyler Booker, I had him coming off the board in round two. I thought the Buffalo Bills would be a landing spot for him. But when I look at, because I really thought Detroit was going to target an edge rusher. There were guys that were still on the board, Mike Green and Donovan Ezeraku, those were guys that just made a lot of sense. But when you look at this team, you've got Aleem McNeil. You know, Levi Onwuzurike really hasn't lived up to that lived up to the hype. You've got DJ Reader there as well. I think Tyreek Williams, you know, can come in here and can potentially compete with DJ Reader for that nose tackle spot. I think this is a guy that, you know, he can hold the point of attack, but he has that short area burst, moves a lot quicker than his size would suggest. I think it's a good pick, up front for Detroit. But again, I thought, you know, from an edge rush perspective, there were guys that were still on the board that they could have targeted with that pick. So a bit of a surprise there for Detroit not going with that edge rusher. Washington, again, another team that I thought was going to go edge rusher with Donovan Ezeraku. Because look, you don't have a guy, you know, Dorrance Armstrong, Cleveland Furl combined for just 8.5 sacks. You bring in Jacob Martin and Dietrich Wise to provide depth, but none of those guys are explosive. So when is, you know, Dan Quinn going to get his explosive edge rusher? Just not there on the roster. Now, Josh Connerly, I think this pick tells me that he's going to play opposite Laremy Tunsil. I think Andrew Wiley is a guy that I've been saying for the last couple of years that they need to draft a tackle to take over for him. I think now this gives you some flexibility. Connerly can take that right tackle spot. You've got Andrew Wiley and Sam Cosmi and Nick Allegretti there, and Nate Herbig, for that matter, at the guard spots. You know, this really solidifies the front, protecting Jaden Daniels, you know, your investment there, the rookie of the year from a season ago, and a guy that nearly got Washington to potentially contend for a Super Bowl, got him to the playoffs. So Connerly, you know, this is a guy, look, you know, was exceptional there for the Ducks, first team All-American, so I'm not going to hate on the pick at all. Connerly was a guy that, you know, was in that 28-29. I had him at one point in my mock before I posted it at as high as 25 to Houston, so I think that's, you know, really good value for them. Buffalo sitting there at number 30. Ended up getting Maxwell Hairston right here, 5'11", 183, a really sticky corner. And ran a 4.28 40 at the combine. When I look at this guy, you know, that quarterback spot, Christian Benford was brought back. You've got the nickel, Taron Johnson. They each hauled in two interceptions, but Rasul Douglas is gone. Dane Jackson was brought back, but this guy just played in 9 games last year for Carolina, and he hasn't played a full slate of games since 2021. He's more of a veteran depth piece than really a viable starter. So I think you bring in Hairston to team with Benford and then Johnson. I think that really kind of helps that secondary there. The Eagles trade up with the Chiefs. I think seeing that Jihad Campbell was still on the board, the Eagles making sure that nobody else traded up to get him. I think they only had to give up a fifth round pick for that move. I honestly thought with all the edge rushers off the board, I was looking at this. I didn't think that Jihad Campbell, I had Jihad Campbell coming off the board to the Buccaneers. So I didn't think there was any way he was going to be on the board. I said, they'll take the best edge rusher available. I thought Nick Scorton would be a guy that the Eagles would target. Ultimately, they get Jihad Campbell, and the league did it again. The league let Philly get a guy. I mean, I don't know how Howie Roseman does it, but they end up landing Jihad Campbell. He can team with Zach Bond. You also have N'Kobe Dean returning from injury. And it just, it's going to be so interesting to watch this dynamic, because Jihad Campbell can be an edge rusher coming off the edge, right? So you have Nolan Smith, you have Jalix Hunt. Does Jihad Campbell play some of that outside linebacker potentially? And then you have Bond, Dean, and Campbell on the field all at the same time. You know, it's really going to be interesting to see that dynamic and exactly how Jihad Campbell fits into their game plan. Really looking forward to seeing what they can do there with that front seven. But look, the Eagles did it again. Really a high value guy. I'm a huge fan of Jihad Campbell's, and the fact that he fell to them at 31 overall, I can't believe that. The league is just allowing the Philadelphia Eagles to get richer. I think Jihad Campbell even said that on the broadcast. It's just incredible. KC at the end of round number one taking Josh Simmons. I expected this to happen. You look at Jalen Moore, he backed up Trent Williams. He's more of a swing tackle. I think Josh Simmons is the guy. You know, they said that torn patellar, he's ahead of schedule. He should be ready to go for the season. Booger McFarland had said he had torn his patellar tendon, and it took up to a year for him to really feel back to 100%. I think with Simmons, you know, you've got Moore there to potentially start the season, but then as Simmons continues to get the play strength back, look, he was as polished as you could get. The Chiefs, again, you know, I mean, they've been struggling to get that left tackle. We saw what happened. You had Kingsley Suamatia, you had Wanye Morris to take over at that left tackle spot, and ultimately what you had was, unfortunately, you had to move Joe Tooney out there, and he just got beaten like a drum by Josh Sweat and company. Josh Sweat, 2.5 sacks on him, you know, by himself. Josh Simmons was about the cleanest tackle prospect a season ago in 2024. And, man, if it hadn't been for the knee injury, we'd be talking about him going number 4 overall to the New England Patriots. That's how good he was and how clean his tape was. Big question mark is that knee going to hold up for him? That's really the key going forward. But I thought that was a tremendous value for the Chiefs, really sitting there at the top of, at the bottom of day one. So now we look at the board and who's still available, who are the top players, and I'll tell you what, Will Johnson, the fact that he fell, that really speaks to the fact that, those injuries are a definite concern for him. 6'2", 194 pounds. I think the other thing, too, is, teams playing in zone coverage, this guy's really going to trigger coming downhill. He struggles in man coverage. So I think, he's not going to be the right guy, the right fit for every team. You look at Mike Green out of Marshall. I spoke to his issues off the field. Had a couple of sexual assault allegations while he was in school. One, I think, it was in high school. The other one was, ultimately he ends up getting dismissed from Virginia, comes to Marshall. He said he was never questioned by the police or anything like that. He was really confident in his ability to come off the board on day one. He's still there. A team's going to get a really, really good pass rusher, especially, they just have to do their homework with him. Make sure that everything checks out. Do your due diligence. But the 6'3", 251-pounder, racked up 17 sacks a season ago. He's about, as polished a pass rusher as you can get. Nicky Mamwari, I thought, Seattle, I thought maybe Minnesota. He's still on the board. This is a 6'3", 220-pound safety. I think teams may be looking at him saying maybe they see a little level of stiffness, to his game. Where do we play him? Is he a linebacker? Is he a safety? I think this is a guy, look, 4'3", 840, 43-inch vertical leap. He's super explosive. You see the ball skills. Against Kentucky, there's a corner route in the end zone and the ability to read the play, working inside out, undercuts the route, high points the football. The pick sixes, had two this past season. He's a guy that can trigger coming downhill. I really like Nicky Mamwari early. Donovan Ezeraku, I mentioned him. I think the 6'2", 247 pounds. He's not going to fit in every scheme, but he's got 34-inch arms. He uses that length to his advantage, 16.5 sacks. I think he had 3.5 sacks and 17 pressures in his last game alone. He has a high football IQ. He's a guy that I think is super interesting. Travion Henderson, the running back out of Ohio State, I think the Bears could target him. I think what I'm seeing there with Ben Johnson was kind of what I was expecting. They end up going potentially with a tight end like he had there at in Detroit. Now he's going to get that two-headed monster at that running back position. Travion Henderson, I think, is going to go to the Bears. You got Siobhan Revell out of East Carolina sitting there. But then you also have Trey Amos and Azariah Thomas. Those are corners that I think teams are definitely going to be clamoring to get there on day two. Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders sitting there. You have him, you have Tyler Shuck, you have Jalen Milroe. I think what you're talking about here is you didn't see a team move back up into round one to get Shedeur. So on day two, who's taking the quarterback? And we saw that a season ago, you had 6 quarterbacks come off the board in round one, and nobody was taken until the 5th round when Spencer Rattler was taken by the Saints. So really, where does that slide end? That's really the big question mark, and I don't know the answer to that. When you look at the draft historically, when we talk about the quarterbacks, we didn't really play the NFL draft by the numbers, but what I can say at the quarterback position, traditionally, 3 out of the last 5 years, we've seen one quarterback come off the board in the second round. So when you think about that, that's just crazy, right? We've only had one in the last 3 years, and that was in 2023 when Will Levis was taken. So could we, is that going to be Shadur? Is it going to be Tyler Shuck? Is it going to be Jalen Milrow? Look, the thing with Jalen Milrow for me, 4.37 40, throws a great deep ball. Short to intermediate game is awful at this point right now. So I don't see him being a viable option for a second round. Tyler Shuck, you know, he's bounced around, didn't play a full season until he got to Louisville. 25 years of age. You know, I think, you know, he's hit his ceiling, hit his cap. The big question mark with Shadur is our team is going to want to put up with his personality. You know, this guy, you know, he's an influencer, you know, has a social media presence. I think you read on NFL.com and other publications that his interviews didn't go very well. You know, that, you know, they thought that he was entitled. You know, I think that's a concern. You know, I think teams, when you're talking about the face of your franchise, you know, you want to make sure that you're bringing in the right guy. And so with Shadur, you know, if he doesn't come off the board in round number two, we look at round three, we've only seen, you know, the last 3 years, we saw three come off the board in 2022 in round three. That was, you know, the Kenny Pickett year. So you had Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, and Matt Corral come off the board in round number three. Outside of that, you know, we didn't see any off the board, obviously, last year. A season before, Hendon Hooker was the only guy to come off the board there. So we could potentially see four or five on the first 2 days of the draft, but that just speaks to this poor quarterback class that you're really not sure what's going to happen. I think you get a couple more tight ends. Mason Taylor, Elijah Arroyo, who's that third tight end that's going to come off the board? I think then you get, you know, Terrence Ferguson is going to be the next guy to come off the board there. He'll likely come off the board in round number three. Luther Burden, I predicted that this was going to be a guy that was still going to be sitting there. If I'm the Raiders in round number two, I get Luther Burden, get my receiver. You've got Jalen Knoll, as I mentioned, Trey Harris out of Ole Miss. You know, didn't run a ton of routes in his route tree, so that's the one concern that I have there with Trey Harris. I mentioned Carson Schweisinger. I think he fits what the Rams need at that inside linebacker spot. Jaden Higgins was another receiver, that's still going to be sitting out there. When you look at defensive tackles, you know, TJ Sanders, Darius Alexander are two guys that you should be keeping an eye on, I think, on in the second round of the draft. Now, that running back position, after I mentioned Travion Henderson, I've talked about Cam Scataboo. You got Quinshon Judkins and Caleb Johnson as well. I think you could see as many as four come off the board in round two, but definitely I think Scataboo, Dylan Sampson, if they don't go off in two, you're going to see them in round number three. I think Jack Besh, Jalen Royals, Kyle Williams at the receiver spot. Torrey Horton is another one of my favorites. I think those are going to be day two guys to keep an eye on for sure as well. Tight ends after Arroyo, Taylor, and Ferguson. Harold Fannin is going to be an interesting one to see where he goes. The athleticism just wasn't there when you watched him, especially at the combine. Offensive tackle, I did talk about how this position kind of drops off. You got Ariante Ursary from Minnesota, who I think is going to be the next guy to keep an eye on. If I'm the Rams and I'm considering a potential right tackle to replace Rob Havenstein, Ozzie Trapillo out of Boston College makes a lot of sense. You've got, you know, Charles Grant, Anthony Belton, and Cam Williams are two right tackles that would make sense. I really am a fan of Jalen Travis out of Iowa State, possibly in round number four, to keep an eye on there. Emory Jones Jr., I think, to me, is a guard. Really surprised that we saw three guards taken in round number one. But I think, you know, Wyatt Milam is I'm a big fan of his. You got Jonas Savinaya. They're at that guard spot. So those will be guys and names to keep an eye out for. Jared Wilson is your top center. He's someone to also keep an eye on day two of the draft. After Alexander and Sanders, I think Alfred Collins, people were saying that he's slipping a little bit from a health standpoint. You know, I think that was Sports Illustrated reported that. I think Shamarcus Turner out of Texas A&M. Omar Norman Lott, keep him on the field. see just how explosive he could potentially be. Joshua Farmer from Florida State, Ty Robinson showing off that athleticism coming out of Nebraska at that combine. I think those are guys that we're going to be talking about there on day two as well. In addition to Schlesinger, I think Demetrius Knight out of South Carolina, Chris Paul out of Mississippi. I think Tennessee might take Cody Simon in round number four. Danny Stutzman's an interesting one out of Oklahoma, a big physical linebacker, a guy that I thought maybe the Rams would take in round three, but I also think that he's a liability in coverage. That's why I think Schlesinger would get the nod for the Rams over Danny Stutzman. Stutzman, to me, either a late third or early fourth, so it'll be interesting to see where the Sooner goes on the board there. You get to the edge rush position. After Mike Green, Donovan Ezeraku, you've got Jordan Birch. I think he's a guy that could fit in well, potentially with Tampa in the third round. I like JT Tuimoloau as a potential edge rusher there for Detroit. Could also fit the Bears, what they want to do. I mentioned Nick Scorton and Femi Oladejo. Oladejo was another guy who was kind of an off-ball linebacker, moved to the edge rush position, and really just has showcased that athleticism. He's an intriguing pick. Then you have Landon Jackson and Josiah Stewart and Braden Swinson and Princey Umamielen. That's another 10 guys that we could easily be talking about coming off the board there in the next two rounds of the draft. Cornerback. After Will Johnson, Chevelle Revelle, Trey Amos, and Azariah Thomas. Then you have Benjamin Morrison out of Notre Dame. Had he not torn his knee, he could have been a first-rounder. Same thing with Siobhan Revelle, so you can get some really good corner talent. That's five corners right there. Then Darian Porter out of Iowa State. He's a track guy and a guy that I think is continuing to develop. He's an intriguing prospect there. Quincy Riley is another guy that I think has a chance to come off the board in round number three. So those are names to watch out for. At safety, Iman Wari, but then you have Xavier Watts. Incredible ball skills. I think he's a second rounder for sure. You got Kevin Winston, Andrew Makuba, Jonas Sanker, Billy Bowman as names to watch out for there on day two of the draft as well. So I think those are the guys that I'm really targeting and looking forward to seeing where they land there in the second round and third round of the draft tomorrow. Big question mark, where Shedeur Sanders going to go? If I had to guess, really when you're talking about the quarterback spots, you've got Pittsburgh, you've got the Saints. If Derek Carr's gone with that shoulder, the Steelers, you have Rudolph and Skylar Thompson. Unless you're targeting a veteran, who do you expect to be your quarterback in 2025? That's really the big question mark. And maybe they looked at it and said, I can get someone in round one. Now we're going to try to posture to get the guy that we want on day two. Those are two teams that I think need a quarterback. Cleveland's the third, but Cleveland did bring in Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. They could say, you know what, we're going to roll the dice for another year, continue to try to stockpile picks. I mean, they moved down to number five overall, moving off of number two with Jacksonville. So maybe they're playing the long game at the quarterback position. So if that's the case, if Cleveland is out on a quarterback, then I think Jalen Milroe could easily be the odd man out. I really do. At that quarterback position. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. So a lot of different conversation. I think this is where we're going to really start seeing the running back resurgence. Going to see a lot of interesting cats coming off the board there at the running back spot. I think there's a ton of edge rushers, a ton of talent on the board there to get excited about, and a ton of corners, as I mentioned. So I think that's really where it's going to be a lot of fun. See the draft heat up, see the teams really start posturing there. And then I mentioned this receiver group is not the strongest. So day two is really where you're going to see it heat up. Luther Burden, Jaden Higgins, Trey Harris, Jalen Knoll, Jack Besh, Jalen Royals, Kyle Williams, Torrey Horton, all guys that we could hear their names called on day two of the draft. Elik Iomanner is another guy that I'm a big fan of. I had him coming off the board in round two. He could fall to round three. But again, there's so much intrigue on day two of the draft. Now that we've seen what's happened in the board, the way that it's laid out for the top 32 picks, I need to update my second and third rounds on the site. I'm going to make sure that that is done before the draft begins. Yeah, I'm going to start working on it tonight, get it done tomorrow morning or early afternoon before the draft begins. Need to get second and third round updated based on my first round picks, because really, last time I had it updated was on 4-11. That was based on what I had really in round one and what the team was going to do. I need to make sure that those picks are now updated. I'm not going to, you know, go back and take a look at who we have available now and try to mock that. I'm really looking at the board that I had in my mock draft for the first round and then working off of that and seeing if I can get that updated. You know, really what I probably ought to do is say, you know what, let's go ahead and just see where guys are going to fall now. Maybe I end up deciding to do that. I'll have to note that on the website, though, exactly how I'm doing it, when I'm doing it. I need to be intentional with that, you know, and really call that out. I don't want to have any misrepresentation on what I was doing. Anyone that looks back on my picks, you know, I want to maintain that credibility. So I'll make sure that I'm calling out exactly how these picks are being laid out for rounds two and three. So stay tuned. Check out readyforthedraft.com tomorrow before the draft. I'll get that updated. Just take a look at the last updated at the very top. Right now it says 4-11. You know, eventually it'll say 4-25. And when that happens, then you'll know there'll be a disclaimer at the top in terms of exactly what I did. Did I look at my board that I had in my head, you know, based off of what I had in the first round, or do I get this updated in rounds two and three based on who's on the board now? And I think what I'll do is that may be the case, and I'll note who I had here from 4-11 so you can see and follow the thought process with what I had previously. Maybe that's what I'll do, because then I can say, all right, here's what I had on 4-11 based on what I had previously. And now you can see with who we have on the board today, really understanding the direction that I think that the teams will go and kind of see the chips fall where they may and kind of take things from there. So it's going to be a lot of fun either way. Break all of that out. I've got my work cut out for myself because I've got to make sure that I get all of that in before the draft begins. And look, I'm excited. Draft is here. It's the best time of year. Two more days of the draft, and a lot more players, their lives are changing forever, and a lot of day two picks end up turning into key contributors on teams, a lot of Pro Bowlers, etc. And really, that's on day three of the draft as well, so it's really going to be exciting. So make sure to stay tuned. Get you some more draft coverage, and then once the draft is over, we'll go pick by pick, talk through, you know, the picks that I liked, the biggest head scratchers. We'll take it all the way through, take a look at my board, and really how things shaked out, you know, what were similar, what were different, and really talk through that. So until next time, everyone, for readyforthedraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. Again, I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. Enjoy the draft. It's here. Way to go, Green Bay. Looking forward to continuing that there in front of Lambeau. I think it's a lot of fun being able to see Green Bay showcasing the Packer Nation, the Packer love. Really a lot of fun to watch. So, again, until next time, everyone, I am out of here.